broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, Kurt Cosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No Doubt continues now. This is indeed the broadcast for November the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is hour two at two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Kurt Cosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right. I'm a little bit confused. I guess we hear that the Mexican government and Mexicans are helping the immigrants through their country as a conduit. A migrant caravan departs Mexico City and heads north. And what happened is a lot of them straggled into Mexico City with nothing, Kurt, literally nothing. And they left carrying sleeping bags and food and backpacks and clothing for warmer weather. And the bottom line is you've got the Mexican government literally helping people put people on 18-wheelers and giving people rides so they can make it faster through their country. I'm not sure what to think about this. What do we know about the latest migrant caravan, as they call it? Very polite words. What I submit to you is illegals invade Mexico. Mexicans and Mexican government literally helps them, funds them, protects them, sets up tent cities for them, and helps them along their way with clothing and food and supplies. Kurt, it's criminal activity. Do you want to respond to this?
You know, it sure is a mess, isn't it, Sam? I mean, when you look at although on the one hand, this is a lesson, if you will, of what people are willing to do to try to get just a little bit of liberty, freedom, and how much they'll give up for it. But it should be nothing new for us that have studied this, simply because, well, people have been trying to find liberty and freedom for a long time. And it's one of those things that's in short supply, in my opinion, and difficult basically to be found, not only in places like south of our border, but even in America, we have many instances of bureaucratic causes of loss of freedom in many ways. And that's why we try to promote God, family, and country, and the honest return of good government in any way we can.
Well, and the problem is there's a headline in the Washington Post, I think it is, that says this: Mexico torn between stopping and aiding the migrant caravan. I think this is a fair headline, Kurt, because I think that's the problem here. What do you do when they illegally break into your country? What do you do when this is happening? The whole world, the United Nations, the nonprofit or NGO organizations, the all, you know, beating up President Trump, saying, man, how dare you stop these people? How dare you arrest them? How dare you treat them badly? They're just seeking for a better life. And some of them may be, Kurt. But how do you create this balance between keeping the rule of law in your country versus providing humanitarian aid when needful? It's a tough balance. But I know this, you got Mexico literally doubling down and helping clothing these people. And where does the rule of law begin slash end? And where does, you know, the admonition from the Savior Jesus Christ begin end? Where, you know what? We should clothe the naked. We should feed the hungry. It doesn't say unless they're illegals in your country. So there's a tough balance here. And I'm not here just to go on the attack. I'm here to highlight the difficult decisions that need to be made. I have, by the way, solutions for these things. So I'm not just a complainer. I have ideas. What do you do in these scenarios? Primarily, the big problem that I see, Kurt, is the way it's discussed in the media. You've either got to hate or help with the modern viewpoint if you accept what they, okay? I don't think it's an and or an or. I'm sorry. I don't think it's an or. I think it's an and discussion as part of the solutions that I would point to. But anyway, they make this a very battle line drawn scenario. First off, I don't think it needs to be, Kurt. Do you want to comment on this more?
Well, you know, it's true what you say. We're supposed to, as Christians and God-fearing people, care about others. On the other hand, we have to have some laws that are kept. Well, we have to have laws that protect the integrity of our country. And so, you know, I believe the ideas to have the tent cities and that kind of thing to make sure that the people are not, I guess you could say, mistreated or maltreated, and that on the border is a good idea. And then as we, you know, basically address these ideas of asylum and hopeful where they hope to be American citizens, you know, the bottom line is we've got to make sure the bad guys stay out and the good guys are let in as our country can handle it. Sam, it's just like any rowboat. If you've got the rowboat full and you continue to fill it up, basically everybody in the rowboat goes down. So you have to do all you can to make a good safe place for the people in America and hope that it even spills over into other countries, whether it's Mexico or any other country, simply because other countries are going to want to compete, if you will, to keep citizens, you know, that kind of thing. And so, you know, the answer, the solutions are in the keeping of the commandments of God, treating others as you would want to be treated. God has said that all through the land, whether it's, you know, here or Africa or wherever, if you have, you know, his people will be protected if they keep his commandments.
Amen to that. Now, there's two headlines that I see primarily that, hey, the Mexicans are struggling on what to do to help or to whatever. On Saturday, more than 100 federal Mexican police dressed in riot gear blocked the rural highway in southern Mexico shortly before dawn to encourage the migrants to apply for refugee status in Mexico rather than continuing the long, arduous journey north. So that's on one side, and good for the Mexican government to do this. Secondly, then I hear that they're trying to help them, you know, quickly move north. And so the battle's on. Police let the caravan proceed after representatives from Mexico Human Rights Commission convinced them that the rural stretch of highway without shade, toilets, or water was no place for migrants to entertain an offer of asylum. Many members of the caravan have been traveling for more than 2 weeks, many of them from Honduras. The problem is, then what happened after they did that, not long after the caravan resumed the trek north, government officials were seen for the first time directly helping the migrants by giving rides and trucks and providing water along the way, along the scorching highway. Now, the problem is, what do you do here? Right? And how do we, well, I'm going to compare it like this. I care about all of God's children. I absolutely care. And I don't give a rip the color of one's skin. I don't give a rip the gender. I don't give a rip how rich or poor somebody is. Okay, none of those things matter. We are all God's children, and we ought to care for one another. And we ought to reach out with kindness and love and patience and respect. However, through history, God has told us that we need to defend ourselves from evil. That sometimes we need to protect our women and children from evil people. So our response escalates with the people we're dealing with, if you will. And that's why in the beginning I said we need to have people find out which governments are helpful and which ones are not. When the Mexico tries to help these immigrants pass through their country as a conduit, I reject that. And we ought to hold Mexico accountable for that. That needs to stop. Secondly, though, hey, you know what? Giving water to people that are suffering, you know what, is a good thing. But how do we deal with this? And in my opinion, I mentioned the solutions before, Kurt. We need to drop military personnel into these, whatever you want to call them, caravans. And we need to find out who the good guys are and who the bad guys are, who the true families are seeking for a better life, fleeing their countries, deserving political asylum because their countries are hostile and evil and no safe place for women and children, versus those who are coming for the wrong reasons. And when I see offers of you can live in Mexico, we'll work on getting you a job, we'll give you asylum, we're already ready to grant this and do this, and then I'm told that they reject that, they're going to come to the United States border by hook or by crook, then I say that's not acceptable, and those people need to be treated harshly. They're not looking for safety and asylum. There's plenty of safety in Mexico. In fact, there's a lot more safety in many Mexican cities than there are American cities, if you want to play that game. But we've got to separate the good ones from the bad ones and help the good ones. And how do we do that appropriately? I've given you a tidbit of the idea. Let's talk about this more. It's critical.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
All right, back with you live, Sam and Kurt. So I submit to you that we need to get troops into these countries, whether it's Honduras, whether it's Mexico, whether it's Guatemala, wherever it is. We need to vet these caravans to find out who the good guys are and the bad guys are. And I'm telling you right now, trained military troops could get that done easily. Who are the real families? Who really are husbands and wives, mothers and fathers and children, brothers and sisters? And how do we protect those innocent people that really want a better life? And how many of these people really want a better life? Versus how many people want to assault America or do harm, or how many of these people are criminals fleeing from their countries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is the problem that we got to deal with, and I submit to you that putting troops in there. Now we just ask Mexico, hey, these guys are in your country illegally. We're asking for legal permission to help figure out who's who and what's what. But what you've got, Kurt, is, in my opinion, a global media-driven agenda here to manipulate the truth and to make it impossible. So the Mexican police are trying to stop these guys. And then all of a sudden these human rights groups come in and persuade somebody somewhere to say, no, don't stop them. Help them. Give them water. Give them rights. Help them just kind of go through your country as a conduit. Who's funding and doing all this? See, Donald hasn't, as far as I can tell, got to the bottom of this and publicly let us know what's going on either. We hear allegations of George Soros and other criminal activity organizations funding this. But what's the real truth? We don't know yet. I don't really know. But I know this. It isn't happening with a bunch of poor people just magically getting supplies everywhere. It isn't the truth when we say this is a spontaneous, we just want a better life idea. We're not being told the truth on this, Kurt. And I appreciate President Trump standing up saying he's going to stop it. But in my opinion, they're setting the stage for him to lose this one. Because we're not, in my opinion, taking the right actions. Any thoughts on this, Kurt?
Well, I did appreciate the other day when you had the president's words about this on the immigration situation and that kind of thing. And that was pretty illustrative, I guess you'd say. But to me, you know, so much of the real truth is hard to find about what's really going on, isn't it, Sam?
Yeah, and all I can tell you, I'm not saying Donald's not doing the best he can. I'm just saying, look, he's surrounded by enemies on every side. Okay? I don't want starvation, like as in Holy Tomorrow Memorial Day. But I don't want starvation for the Mexicans and the immigrants coming through their country now either, Kurt. But I'll give an example to show how this is, though. Bill Gates wants to build a better toilet. Did you read this?
I don't remember
All right.
that.
So Bill Gates believes the world needs better toilets. Specifically,
maybe I did see something on this. Anyway, go ahead.
Specifically, toilets that improve hygiene, don't need to connect to our sewer system, and can break down human waste into fertilizer. Now, I guess in Beijing last Tuesday or whatever, Mr. Gates held what he called the Reinvent the Toilet Expo. That's a chance for companies to show their new takes on the traditional bathroom fixture. And I guess companies showed toilets that could separate urine from other waste for more efficient treatments. I guess they had recycled water for hand washing. They had solar roofs on a lot of the toilets. They say this is no laughing matter, Kurt. About 4.5 billion people, more than half the world's population, live without access to safe, adequate sanitation. Globally, Mr. Gates told attendees, unsafe sanitation costs an estimated, let's see how much, $223 billion annually in the form of higher health care costs. Anyway, then it talks about China's system and how it's deficient in many areas. In Beijing, companies including China's Clear, ECAS, and CRRC, they're all working on toilets that can deal with this stuff. And this is a very serious issue. It is no laughing matter, is the point. Do you want to respond to this, Kurt?
You know, I was just thinking of the things that if I were Bill Gates with the money that he has, what I'd be doing with it. This is so far down the list, I couldn't even see it. You know, it just wouldn't be there, Sam. There's so many other good things that you could be doing, I think. But I don't really know how to comment on this. It just seems like people wherever they are could take care of this, you know, high-tech situation. I kind of kid around about it. I mean, I've known high-tech people that, you know, don't seem to understand the operations of the toilet itself, you know, and how that thing works. And when it comes to this whole idea that, hey, you know, there's just not enough water and that kind of thing, you know, again, we got to go back to, you know, the commandments of God, keeping God's commandments. You basically, you know, receive the things that you need, whether it's water in the right supply or food or whatever. And I don't believe, in my opinion, that this is a necessary move. I would suggest to Mr. Gates to work on a lot of other good things.
Yeah, and what he would do is attack you and say, listen, there's 4.5 billion people without sanitary capabilities, and, you know, hey, you're just turning a blind eye, you don't care about this. And I would step back and embrace Kurt's statements about we need to turn to God big time. But I would say this, though, if you look at if you put the world on a map, Kurt, and you rate the governments in a given country to how tyrannical they are, how godless they are, and how murderous they are, and I'm talking about abortion too, like one-child policies and the like. And then you chart how friendly a country is to worshiping what you may. And you allow people to have religious freedom, and then you have government that respects and protects life, not kills. And you look and chart these countries, that how many of them are the most tyrannical and how many of them are the most freedom-loving, if you will, and you chart it all on a map, you will find, folks, that every factor for goodness, is that a word? Every factor for good is in the countries that embrace freedom, that protect life, where the government is not dictators. You will find every time that's the reality. And so in China, where most of these people are, or in some of these other countries where most of these people are that don't even have adequate sanitary conditions, you find that, you know what? It's evil government at the helm, Kurt. The evil government grinds the face of the poor. The evil government keeps people down. The communist-style government doesn't reward entrepreneurial spirits or reward free markets or anything that could improve the lives of these people. 9 times out of 10, it's wicked governments at the helm. And so I don't care if you make the best toilet on the planet. I don't care if you grow more and more and more food. All those things are good things to do, but they're secondary to the discussion. Hey, we in the United States should teach the word of God around the world. The more people that can learn about Jesus Christ, and the more people that can obey his commandments by choice, the better. And the less government interferes and the less government grinds the face of the poor. You got Stalin. We talked about Holodomor Memorial Day. We talked about the same thing going on in Yemen right now. We talk about, China having not adequate systems. Every one of these governments are dictatorial, abusive, hostile, hate-filled, communist, socialist, everything that we abhor, Kurt. And the sooner we acknowledge that wicked governments are primarily responsible for this, the sooner we can come to solutions, Kurt. We can't force freedom on people. And I'm not suggesting we should violate the sovereignty of these governments. What I am suggesting we should do is use the supreme law of the land and use the gospel of Jesus Christ to teach the people the way of solutions. And all I'm telling you is you'll never, in my opinion, have these discussions. So, you know what? A toilet expo. What about trying to get Bibles to these people? You would say, well, Sam, these people just need to go to the bathroom and in safety and peace, Sam. I understand. What they need more is to have hope, something to hold on to. What they need more is government to quit being so dictatorial in their face and abusive and hostile. You know, farmers can't learn to farm and don't have the freedom to farm. Well, no wonder they don't have food. And so I submit to you, wherever you see this carnage around the world and this desperation that Bill Gates speaks of, and he's right, this is happening. Whether it be the Mexicans in a conduit country, whether it be the Honduran, it's wicked governments involved in drug trade that create gangs, that create hostility, that create rape and pillage and plunder, whether it be on our own borders coming up, or whether it be around the world. The principles are the same, Kurt, and the solutions are available. When we get back, I want you to respond to this, because I'm convinced that it's evil, wicked, tyrannical thugocracies that are at the helm of all this suffering, no matter where it comes from. And the answer is the teachings of Jesus Christ, and the answers are the people to understand their God-given unalienable rights. And the solutions are checks and balances in countries to stop unbridled evil power from prospering.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense, as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
All right, so it's my contention, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of poverty in the world. There's a lot of suffering. There's a lack of sanitation. There's a lack of food. There's a lack of all kinds of things. There's violence and hatred and everywhere. We live in perilous times, there's no doubt. But it's my contention that the teaching about God, family, and country, the protection of life, liberty, and property are the keys. You know, you can spend a gazillion dollars on a toilet expo, and I don't think it's going to make a whole lot of difference. But if you teach the word of God, family and country to people, and you teach the proper role of limited government with checks and balances, the Constitution, if you teach the relationship to God Almighty, Kurt, and the saving grace of the Savior Jesus Christ and the opportunities that we have to turn away from our sins and to keep his laws, I'm telling you right now that'll do more for the benefit of the people than anything else we can do. And then in addition to that, we can go to work and use philanthropy, private organizations around the world to provide support and relief and love and help and compassion. And those are wonderful things, but they're secondary to the solution, in my opinion, Kurt. They're part of the solution, but they're secondary. Without the first part, we're missing the whole boat, sir.
Well, I agree, Sam. Yeah, you're right on target.
All right. Anyway, I bring it up just because, I mean, I appreciate a toilet expo and stuff, and I agree it's a sad tale when 4.5 billion people don't even have sanitary conditions. I mean, it's horrible.
In my opinion, it's but this may be classified as fake news, Sam. Number one, I want to know who went around and and studied up on all 4.5 billion of those people or whatever it is. And, you know, and who defines what's adequate sanitation?
Well, your government, your non-GOs do all that, Kurt.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is just, you know, a news story that is, you know, in my opinion, a waste of time. And it's there's so many other good things that they ought to focus on, and yet that's what they do. They like to, like in the shell game, keep you looking at someplace you shouldn't be looking while the real solutions need to be attended.
Yeah, that's true. And that's why it is a waste of time story if you just double down and say, all right, now I'm going to basically start a GoFundMe and I'm going to build the best toilet on the planet. And, you know, if you fall for it and carry out their plans like that, then it is. It's a losing argument. On the other hand, if you take a step back and highlight the hypocrisy and focus on the solutions like we're doing, I think it's a very valuable story, Kurt.
Agreed.
Because, again, we're talking about, look, there is suffering in the world all over, Kurt. I mean, just go to Chicago. There's people murdering people every day to the tunes of thousands. Look across the United States. We're murdering babies wholesale these days, selling their body parts. A guy highlights it and gets in trouble for even focusing on the fact. You know, there's a lot of trouble in the world, but the answers are clear. And I think it's worth highlighting these things for the answers. Another example of a story that kind of illustrates this point, Kurt. There's a new study out. It's the University of Pennsylvania study, Kurt. And it says social media makes you lonely and depressed. Do you want to respond to that one, Kurt?
Well, it's a fact, isn't it, Sam? Real solutions are, well, I don't mean all
of
social media.
It depends on what you use your social media for,
yeah.
Kurt.
And how much you're doing,
that's right.
If you're using it for the right things, to promote God, family, and country, I don't think you're going to have, you know, depression set in for that. But on the other hand, if you just, you know, are constantly glued to your phone, don't focus on those good folks around you. Don't use it to encourage the relationships that you should encourage. You got troubles.
Hey, man, I think you're spot on, Kurt. In fact, there's many people now that are teaching what you need to learn to do is have intentional use of your device. So if you find yourself just holding your phone in your hand and just scrolling and scrolling and looking and scrolling and looking, then, you know what, you're not using devices properly at all, and it will lead to depression, the discouragement, and anger, and frustration, and too much of that device time is not good for anybody. The more you focus on real relationships with real people around you, and the more kind you are to them, the more you spend time serving them, loving them, befriending them, being kind to them, the better off you are. But if you use social media appropriately, you pick up your device, you have an intentional attempt to do something. I'm going to work on genealogy for an hour on Sunday. It's a great thing to do. If you say, I'm going to reach out, I haven't heard from my good friend so-and-so, and you know what, I'm a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to reach out and see how they're doing. So you pick up your phone and you text somebody and say, hey, I've been thinking about you, want to just check in and see how you're doing. Wonderful thing. And so we need to have, instead of just this mindless scrolling and hours and hours and hours in the social media realm, we need to have intentional use and reduce our time, but intentionally say, I'm going to get on, you know, Facebook, or I'm going to get on Twitter, or I'm going to get on, and I'm going to use it to foster the promotion of God, family, and country. I'm going to use it to, and this intentional use of devices has tremendous value for good. So I don't think social media is to blame. I think this mindless, mind-numbing idea, social media doesn't make you lonely and depressed. It's the misuse of social media. It's kind of like money isn't evil. It's the love of money. It's the misuse of money that can become evil. In fact, if I seek for riches to do good all the day long, you know what? The Lord's happy with me if I spend time caring for one another. So we need to really understand a lot of these headlines are very salacious, very dividing. But at the same time, we need to understand them. And I think that intentional use, I use a lot of multimedia all weekend long, Kurt. But I think for good reasons and for good purposes. And I don't see anything wrong if done right. You know, I'm teaching about a lot of these good things and using media to be able to do so. Whereas a lot of these people, without modern day technology, I wouldn't be able to even communicate with these people to share the gospel of Christ and to help people think about God, family, and country. I was able to reach out to friends in Texas and New York and all around the country, all around the world. I mean, a guy emails us from another country, Kurt, and, you know, I said to him, hey, he needs to take a step back from running around and being so busy and focus on the things of God, family, and country. And he wrote back to me and said, well, I'm not as religious as you are, Sam. And I said, I understand, but if you're feeling overwhelmed, slow down a little bit. Spend a little bit of time with God and the scriptures. And, you know, these things are important. And so, you know, I appreciate the University of Pennsylvania, but I would ask them, what about the intentional use of media to do good all the day long, to share the gospel of Christ, to strengthen family and friendships, to promote country, to provide solutions and hope? You know, what about that? And are they in their study, are they asking the right questions about intentional use of the media for good causes? I don't think they are, but I'd be interested to help them adjust their study so they could find that out. Pretty soon they'd be reporting that when you use the media intentionally, social media intentional limited use, as Kurt wisely points out, for the right reasons to do good all the day long, I think it can make people happier, Kurt. Yesterday I spent time with my family in the morning. I went to two different church services. It's a long story why. I helped my son bless his baby. We spent in two different congregations with a room full of people, and afterwards we talked to people and, you know, this kind of stuff. We heard from people and then we went and spent some family time. That's what we did all day long. I mean, I spent 90% of my time yesterday with people physically. And then I spent a little bit of time on social media doing my best to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Saturday and Sunday, I spent my weekend reaching out to friends to see how they're doing, to check in, to help bear one another's burdens. And I had a delightful time doing it, and I think I did a lot of good. I'm not leaving my multimedia involvement depressed at all. In fact, I'm super excited about it. And the same thing with this program. You know, we spend 10 hours a week, 12 hours a week, Monday through Saturday on the radio. Somebody could say, man, you must be super depressed. No, I don't think so. In fact, I think we're encouraged. And I think it feels good to participate in solutions. Anything to add to that, Kurt?
You know, I echo what you say. That's just good stuff, Sam.
All right, James Dobson's in the news too, Kurt. Kind of an interesting take from good old James Dobson, well-known Christian, leader of Focus on the Family. Well, I guess he's not the leader of it now, but he's on their board. But he, you know, he's getting older is the point. But Dr. James Dobson does a great job, Kurt.
Good point, Dr. Dobson. I assume this is a headline I've got. Just trying to find it.
Yeah, it's Bob Unruh wrote the story. WND.com is the organization. And the headline says, Dr. James Dobson, time to rise up against the deep state.
Deep state. Good point. Yeah, and he says, you know, basically he describes the problem without using the term deep state. He speaks instead of unelected bureaucrats and activist judges who are widely considered to be the core of the problem. He explains the nation's founders provided the answer, and then they talk about Article 5 of the Constitution where it allows for the convention of the states. Now, I don't know for sure, but if he's for the Article 5 convention, I'm lost there. I don't agree with that, but I do agree that he's right when he says the unelected bureaucrats and activist judges are a problem.
I'll tell you the best way to deal with the deep state in seconds.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
All right, Dr. James Dobson says it's time to rise up against the deep state. You know, if you read that headline, you could think he means violence. He's not talking about that at all, is he, Kurt?
Not that I can see. I've never known him to be doing violent, that. Yeah. I don't think he is now.
All right, so what's his proposal? What does he want us to do?
Well, you know, I guess he released a statement. He says, unfortunately, an insidious power grab has been underway in our nation's capital for many years, and it has inflicted great damage upon our constitutional republic. He doesn't even know about the whole democracy thing. Unelected bureaucrats, activist judges, in the ever-expanding scope reached an invasion of the federal government into the lives of all Americans has far surpassed what our founders ever intended. He continues, thankfully, the drafters of our Constitution built in safeguards to restore the size of government to its proper limits through amendments as outlined in Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution. They go on, it says, of the two paths an amendment can travel, all 27 have thus far been initiated in Congress. A convention of states is the second path, which doesn't allow a rewriting of the Constitution, as some have suggested, but rather allows the state legislatures to propose needed amendments to restrain the federal government when Congress fails to act.
My response to Dr. James Dobson is, I understand what he's saying, but he has no guarantee of which he speaks. But I would submit to you this. What we got to do is get rid of the 17th Amendment so the senators could be representatives of the state and could simply carry that message. When we disable that check and balance via the 17th Amendment, then we have this dire need for the states to be able to convey to the federal government what they want, expect, and need and demand. There's no mechanism to do so because we violated those checks and balances. So the answer is not a new plan, folks. The answer is to return back to the checks and balances of our founders. So anyway, I appreciate James Dobson's understanding that we got to do something, but I'll tell you the way you deal with the deep state is you obey the supreme law of the land and you preach and promote God, family, and country. I'm telling you, there'll be more for solutions than anything else on the planet. All right, the war for the soul of America, Patrick J. Buchanan. Looks like a lot of us gentlemen are on the same theme these days, aren't we, Kurt?
Well, yeah. Pat is understanding that this isn't, you know, just some little kid game. You know, you're talking about some real troubles here, and he says the war in Washington will not end until the presidency of Donald Trump ends. Everyone seems to sense that now. He says this is a fight to the finish, a post-election truce that began with Trump congratulating House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. Quote, I give her a great deal of credit for what she's done and what she's accomplished was ancient history by nightfall. With the forced resignation, he says, of Attorney General Jeff Sessions and his replacement by his Chief of Staff Matthew Whitaker, the long-anticipated confrontation with Robert Mueller appears at hand. Anyway, he goes through a number of different things that he sees, but I think pretty much the headline, you know, gives it the whole thing. Right at the end, he says, this is a thing. He says, as for those on the right, as they watch the left disparage the old heroes, tear down their monuments, purge Christianity from their public schools, they have come to conclude that their enemies are at root anti-Christian and anti-American. How do we unify a nation where the opposing camps believe this? What the Trump establishment war is about is the soul of America, a war in which a compromise on principle can be seen as a betrayal.
Well, I think Patrick's right, but I would kind of come back and say, what war are we really in? Is it really for the soul of America? To some degree, it's yes. I'm not here to argue that
good
point.
Good versus evil.
What I am here to say is it's for the souls of people, the souls of men. And no doubt America, the United States, if you will, is caught in the middle. There's no doubt.
Good point.
But the souls of men are at stake, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of important to understand what we're talking about here. There's a lot of battles to fight, but they all go back to, in my opinion, the core battle. Christ and our Father in heaven versus Satan. And we're in the middle. And we got to decide what we're going to do, huh?
Yeah.
What are we going to advocate for? What are we going to spend our time promoting? Are we going to be genuine in the discussion? Those are the questions in my mind. And whether there be a literal war or physical war on Veterans Day, we kind of understand that. Or whether it be, you know, we wrestle with principalities and powers and dominions and stuff. And none of that is escapable, if you will. Right? It's the same battle, same discussion points. And I submit to you the same solutions. All right, Governor Scott's in the news, Kurt.
Well, that's right, Sam. And, you know, basically, if you don't know who Governor Scott is, ladies and gentlemen, he's, you know, the current governor of Florida. He's been a candidate for the Senate, U.S. Senate, against a guy named Bill Nelson from Florida. And, Sam, he says there's vote fraud going on. I mean, I don't know where he gets off on that stuff, but
well,
the headline from WorldNet Daily, well, yeah, except for Obama said, hey, you know, no vote fraud in America, you know. But
wait
he
a minute,
warns
Obama
of rampant
said that they monkey with elections.
Well, I know, but that's the parts that we heard, you know, not the parts they told us about.
Oh, good
know.
Point. Yeah.
I mean, anyway,
yeah,
Tallahassee,
don't mind your lying
Florida.
Eyes.
Right. Yeah, is the dateline. Governor Rick Scott's Senate campaign suing the Broward County election supervisor to turn over records regarding how ballots are being counted. During a news conference, Scott accused election officials in Broward and Palm Beach counties of trying to thwart the will of the voters, as recounts seem likely for several statewide races. Those are in progress as well, Sam. And, you know, one of the most interesting parts kind of updated on this is that, you know, they found thousands and thousands of additional ballots. They just seem to keep popping up, if you will, you know. Pretty amazing, huh?
Yeah. Wow. All right. The soft music, Kurt, you're hearing in the background is the phone line that I have muted. Only you hear it. Nobody else does. And it relates to, I did not disconnect Lowell's line. So now it's gone.
Oh, okay. Very good.
That's, there you go. Sorry
that's
about that.
Nice. Very good.
It's just too many
and,
things to
you
do.
You know,
I,
just an update on the...
I was too busy dealing with you know, your 56 stories you sent me that we're going to get through five of them. That's all.
There you go. Update on the Rick Scott thing. You know, as of today, headline from our buddies at the Washington Examiner. Rick Scott, sore loser Bill Nelson trying to steal this election. You know, then he goes through and talks about the different things that have been happening down there. They say Scott's up less than 13,000 votes against Nelson, a margin that triggered an automatic recount. Scott said he filed lawsuits against the different election supervisors. He's on a snipe hunt. There's one lady named Brenda Snipes, you know, that he's after. And he says, we won by 57,000 votes on election night. But then he says, we know that since then, just in these two counties, 93,000 new votes showed up. How'd that happen?
Easy.
How'd that happen? Yeah, good point, Sam. You know, they just kind of appear, you know, and imagine,
but you know what,
us pushing for honesty in the vote. You know.
Hey, these are the Republicans that where Donald tried to create an election fraud commission to look into this that just sat idly by while it shut down.
Yeah.
No offense. I just don't have a lot of respect for.
And we've been talking about it forever. We saw it with Ron Paul. We saw it. We've seen it in our own personal, you know, campaigns. And yet when you bring it up, people are like, hey, let's move on to something important. Just like they did with the Obama birth certificate thing. By the way, you know, quick update on that for you, Sam. I guess our buddy Jerome Corsi's worried about being, you know, put in the slammer now. I don't know
he should
if
you
saw that, but yeah.
No,
they
say, let me tell you why.
Go ahead.
Everyone that's good, honorable, is completely at risk. Everyone that's an absolute hardcore criminal with ties to the deep state is safe right now because we don't do anything about it. I bring this up and they're like, you're a whacked out conspiracy theorist nut. And then the next guy goes to jail and then they're like, hey, man. And then I'm like, vote fraud for 25 years. And then they're like, hey, man, I think somebody's committing vote fraud around here. Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? OK, this is what I'm talking about, Kurt.
Yep.
While they tell you we're a nut. OK, I mean, I've been talking about since 2016. We got to have. We got to have civility, right? The clarion call for civility. Yep. All of a sudden, now Fox is talking about it. And then I send them an article, and they ignore me.
Yep, good point.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just saying, look, we're not taking this stuff seriously. When I say we are. But most aren't, right? So that's what we do. All right, there's a 16-year-old man in the news. I want to get this in before the end of the hour because it's kind of interesting. It highlights the problem we're facing. We tell you we got a culture war on our hands and they mock us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this old dude, he's a Dutch man, right? He's 69 years old.
Ooh.
And I guess the problem is he identifies Kurt as 20 years younger. He thinks he's only 49,
that's
buddy.
That's right. I remember this story.
And he launches a legal battle to change his age, man. Yeah, bring it.
Oh,
sue
man.
Him. Get
I
him.
Just... You know, you just can't make up how weird these things are, right, Sam? I mean,
yeah,
just
but
look
Kurt,
at go,
you can expect this stuff
what?
Just to whacked out continue as long as they keep ignoring us.
Yeah, he's ticked off because he's 69 and he identifies as 20 years younger. And so he's, you know, gone to court. He wants his age, his legal age, to be changed.
Do you blame him?
I mean, well, he pretty soon, if, you know, he'll want to be a different color and he'll want to be maybe a, you know.
They can't be a different color. That's racism, buddy.
Oh, really?
Yes,
I thought, you know, he could identify as that. I mean.
No,
you know,
he can't.
He can
is he white, Kurt?
All these other. Oh, that's right. Yeah, good
he
point.
Can't do that. And what kind of deal? Look, they call it blackface when you do that, buddy.
I'll tell you this real quick. Since it is the day after, you know, Veterans Day. I found it interesting to learn that, Sam, the British soldiers in World War I were given a Bible as part of their kit that they were given when they signed up. And there's some movie guys that have put that in a movie. But the big movie chains, they don't really want this because it's a
well, I think it's great news. I wish we'd do it today. And you didn't give me that headline, but you did give me the headline
I just said
that we've got
it,
for the end of the hour. City takes extraordinary action on reading the Bible in public. Joe Kovacs, WND.com. Finish up on that one, Kurt. It's a great article.
Fantastic. You know, these guys are going to really be in trouble now, but they're going to do an annual 90-hour Bible reading marathon down there in a little place called, they call it the Sailfish Capital of the World, Stuart, Florida. Sounds like a great place to visit, Sam.
I say good for them.
Yeah.
Bring it. I dig it.
Congratulations.
I wonder if they'll get sued by somebody, Kurt.
That's what I'm thinking, for sure.
You got soldiers that are too religious going on, too, huh? Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. We promote God, family, and country. We declare this nation shall endure.